Hey guys, Justin Shank here, host of the top-ranked podcast, The Growth Now Movement. I currently rank in the top 15% in the world, and I want to help you do that as well. So I've created an online course and a mastermind that you can join for free for 30 days. All you have to do is go to launchfixgrow.com and sign up today. I'll see you there.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Canada, UK, Mexico, New Zealand, Malaysia, Japan, all across Europe. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. And I also ask that you please subscribe to the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. You can also rate and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app. Wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts or radio shows, please subscribe and leave us a review on Life Transformation Radio. On the show, I have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are creating an impact. And my guest today creates a massive impact for everyone he comes in contact with. If you have any question for any of the guests during the live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Catch us live 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday. Without further ado, please help me welcome to the show my friend, Josh Carey. Welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Sean, how cool to be here with you. I've been a fan of yours for quite some time, and certainly pleasure to be conversing with you here.
You know, growing up, I would never think that that would be something that I would hear. You know, like, man, I'm a huge fan. I'm like, of what?
You know what it is? Every time I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see a post of yours, I'm sure you know this. I'm sure you've heard it before, but I'll say it. I always take a step back and relax into what I'm about to read from you because it's valuable, it's helpful, and it's legit. And I'm like, this guy, he knows. So, yes, I'm
a fan. You know what I love the most is I get these comments on my posts that are like, needed to hear this. Oh, my gosh, you're so right. I'm sharing this. Oh my, like, that's how you know that you're on point.
It's so true. Well, exactly. And I'm sure something we could dissect deeper and deeper as we get into this whole conversation. That very thing was what I resisted and ignored my whole life. I put all of that ability and all mm-hmm. that skill and talent aside. And only these days when I'm stepping into, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, and this is what I want to say, and now seeing those reactions, it's like, okay, I get it. Now's the time.
Got it. Hey, man, tell us where you're calling in from.
Right now I am in my home state of New Jersey, the Great Garden State.
Oh, boy. Good friend of mine. Shout out to my friend, Jeremy Ryan Slate, host of the Create Your Own Life podcast. He is also from New Jersey. So seems like I don't know a lot of people from New Jersey, but the ones that I do know are complete freaking badasses. So two for two. I know two people from New Jersey, so two for two. So let's Let's jump in and learn a little bit more about you and your brilliance. This episode is titled The Hidden Entrepreneur with Josh Carey. Josh spent 40 years in hiding. That's right, 40 years. He was hiding every aspect of himself and showing up with a mask on in all areas of life, trying to gain the approval of everyone else. At 19, he changed his name and entered into what would become a 15-year career as a professional actor and filmmaker. The applause and external accolades didn't completely heal his feelings of anxiety and insecurities, and he found himself more isolated than ever. Today, Josh is a digital media and creative consultant with the uncanny ability to bring the human side out of each person. Whether it's as a guest on his show or working directly together, you quickly feel consumed by his unique natural energy, bright outlook, and creative mind. He is also a proud father and credits his adoring two young children with helping him to turn things around and embrace the mortality of life. Josh helps his clients unmask themselves by leading them through a pungent, important, and direct questions. This approach results in a profound and honest experience that reveals aspects, desires, and philosophies within you that have been dormant for years. On his podcast, The Hidden Entrepreneur, Josh speaks with successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and small business owners who were also once in the darkness of hiding places, so you may rediscover your world, connect beautifully with others, and excel in all that you set out to do. The podcast has been downloaded in over 18 countries, and he's just starting out and already crushing it. If you haven't listened to his show, subscribe right now. Stop what you're doing. Stop listening. And go right now to The Hidden Entrepreneur. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, everywhere where podcasts are, and smash the subscribe button. Go to joshcarey.com and learn everything that you can. Connect with the guy. He is absolutely phenomenal in what he's doing. So the first question I have to ask, man, and I cannot wait for the answer. What is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Well, certainly a very direct and important question, one that I couldn't figure out for years. Finally, as I became the hidden entrepreneur and lived my message and acknowledged my message and all that entails, I realized what my why is, and it's very simple, and so much of what I do comes down to this. It's for my two adoring children. Today, I have a beautiful 5-year-old daughter, Danica, an incredible 3-year-old son, Harrison, who I give shout-outs to them directly every chance I get, because they might not know it at this young age of theirs, but they certainly see it and feel it. They are the direct result of who I am and why I am today. So I spent, like you said, 40 years in hiding, showing up in every situation, life, personal, business, hiding every aspect of myself. So I suppressed and I resisted and ignored all of my skill, all of my power, all of my ability, all of my love, my persona, who I was, knowing full well what was there. But I showed up as the person I believed the other person expected me to be. And that's called seeking approval. And that gets very tiring very quickly. Not good. So I put myself in this box, in this role, in this character, connect the dots of why I spent 15 years as an actor filmmaker. You know, it's all a role that I was continuing to hide from. So I kept myself playing this part that just sort of reconfirmed the story that I told myself as a very young child, that I am not able, I am not valid, I am not capable. So growing up, you inadvertently seek those scenarios, put everybody else on a pedestal, stayed small, stayed behind them, and continued to live life for over 40 years until, we can get to that story too, me and my girlfriend at the time, who is now my amazing wife, we became pregnant, and now, lo and behold, my two adoring children literally helped me become the person I am and continue to do, and they are my why.
I love that, man. Let me ask you something. By the way, I love the kids' names. Love it. So it's H-A-R?
H-A-R-R-I-S-O-N.
Okay, good. Good. So Danica and Harrison, would you say that they are very direct, very to the point, and they know exactly what they want? Not like, you know, like in life, but I mean, like,
no,
they
yes.
know exactly what they want. It's no BS. Like, they know.
Of course. Of course. And that's what I love it. Yeah, and that's
their names
what,
say
so,
that. That's their names
oh my God.
Mean. They say that in the name.
Oh wait. I'm sorry. You were actually reading what the name means?
Yeah, so I have a friend named Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and she is a nameologist.
Okay.
She taught me how to read people's names and know what the characteristic of that person is. And having
A
in the same space as Harrison and Danica, right? And then there's an I in the same space, right? Harrison, Danica, there's an A and an I almost in the same space means that that they are very headstrong. They know exactly what they want. They're a no BS kind of kid. You don't need to fluff them. You don't need to... Right, they know that it's very direct with them.
Sean, I am like literally choked up here. I'm like getting the chills and teary eyed here. First of all, up until this point, I never put two and two together that they both have the A and the I in a very similar space like that. But then to hear you ask me that, like, are they this, this, and this? And my initial response was matter-of-factly, yes. And then I was going to go on to connect how those personality traits, which they are, play into how I've become the person I've become. So they, yes, not only are they those things, it's those very things that acted as my mirror, my reflection, them at 5 and 3, as perfect children always are. I finally said, instead of coming to the table and being angry and frustrated and depressed and all that negative crap that I did for what I would see as, you know, too long, but thankfully I was able to put an end to that in their lives. I was that way all my life, but now when they come to the table to still be that way, I was finally able to say, you know what? I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to let you do you and be all those things you just described, because I was never those things, and I want to support this. I don't want you changing that because you're looking at me wondering how to navigate the world. You're looking to me for love, affection, direction, and you see me yelling and kicking and screaming, and then you're like,
right.
Oh, okay, that's the way I have to be. And I'm like, no, don't be this way. Continue to be your way. So finally, I'm like, I'm just going to get out of your way and sort of walk beside you. Of course, I'm responsible, and I'm going to make sure you're fed and clothed and loved and safe, but keep doing this, because I like this, and I'm going to do more of this too, you inspiring little people.
Right, the tiny humans?
Yeah, keep doing that.
Tiny humans. Yep, 100%,
wow.
Man. I love that. Love it. I love what just happened.
Thank you.
But I thought you should know.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy good. And yeah, like again, they are all of those things, and that's what allowed me to say, well, I have to be a little bit of a better father and person to support what they're doing, because they're mm-hmm. onto something here. That's everything I wanted to do and be, and I never was, but now I am. I'm not going to spend the next portion of my life. I'm going to be 45 this year, And I saw that on a good day, best case scenario, my life is half over, right? If somebody makes it to 90, that's like a good thing. They're like, oh, man, they don't say, oh, how did he die? Like 90, that's how he died. It's great. He lived a great life. But if I was going along the path that I was going and I made it to 90, I would not have lived to 90. I only would have gotten to 90 and by some chance, and it wouldn't have been exciting. And I said, I can't do this. Now is the time. Best case scenario, 45 years left, and that's going to go way too quick. I want to be here for my kids. I want to experience everything they're experiencing with them and for them. That's the why.
Yep. Dude, I love it, man. I love that. So tell us the transformational moment. You kind of alluded to it earlier. What is that transformational moment that was the course correct that then put you on the path to what you're doing today?
Well, there was sort of like an A and a B that you can imagine goes back to my children. So 6 years ago now, you know, 6+ years ago, when my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, we were in a committed relationship, and I always felt that, you know, I would like to be a father at some point. I'd probably enjoy that role. Sounds kind of good. I'd like that. But something in the universe, call it God, call it your higher power, whatever you believe in, something knew that I, on my own, in this earthly body of mine, I never would have gotten to the point myself where I said, you know what, I am ready. And gosh darn it, I am mature enough to become a father. Let's do this. It just wouldn't have happened. But the energies in the world saw differently. And when I was 39, my girlfriend calls me and she says, are you sitting down? And I say, yes. And she says, we're pregnant. And I said, this is magnificent. Perfect. Yes, let's do this. It never didn't feel right. It felt perfect. It felt like the thing that needed to happen. Because, you know, I wouldn't have willingly, quote unquote, made it happen, but it happened in the best natural way possible. So I get that call, and I am just ecstatic. So that was sort of step one transformation. That was bestowed upon me. You are now going to be a father. Figure it out. So it took me another couple of years to really transform and get it right. So now little Danica is born, and I'm still not transformed. I'm still not the ideal version of myself. I'm still angry and frustrated and trying to figure things out. And then you just hit another low. You know that saying, when you don't think things can get any worse, they do.
Oh, and I was running. That's dangerous.
Yeah, and that was me. You know, you seemingly have everything. You have a great wife, a great child, a great home. Everything's in place. I'm running my own business. I'm paying bills. I'm feeding the family. But miserable, because I wasn't myself. I wasn't allowing the best parts and the powerful parts, all the parts that I knew that were my skill, were my talent, were my ability. Mm-hmm. I was still living in fear of everything, and that's paralyzing. You really can't move. And then I wonder why I'm hitting a wall over and over again in business. I wonder why I'm attracting certain people in my lives, which really, looking back, it's what I designed, right, to keep telling my story, that belief that I'm not capable, I'm not valid, I'm not able. So I just kept attracting the scenarios that would satisfy that story. And after a while, it can't get any worse. And, you know, life looks bleak. And now you have a second child. Now beautiful Harrison is here. And today, as it's been from birth, Danica and Harrison are besties. Thankfully, they adore each other. They love each other. So now I have two children who are showing me, how many more children do I need to show me what it takes, how to be, how to live? So finally, the things align. Because I've always had I've always been self-aware. I've always wanted to self-improve, but just couldn't. So finally, I find a group of people online in this amazing Facebook group that really helped solidify the transformation of be yourself. You know what you're capable of. Stop making excuses. Stop living in fear. And just express what has always been there. And slowly but surely it comes out. It's not an overnight thing. It's a journey that eventually reveals itself into the person that I've wanted to become and who I am today and will continue to be. And it's just replacing all of the negative habits, no longer doing the things that you know you're doing that aren't serving you, the small, medium, and large things, the blatant and the obvious and not so blatant and not so obvious things you're doing. Make a choice to not do them. And I did that. I said, I have to slowly but surely, not, you know, these grand gestures, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to get to bed on time, I'm going to, you know, not all these things. One or two things at a time allowed me to put these new daily habits in place that now I do every single day. Things like, little things like, you know what, I'm not going to sleep in till 7:30 because I can still start my day at 8:30 or whatever. I'm going to get up at 6. Because what I realize reading over and over again of the people that I see successful or that I want to be like, that happens to be something they all do. Everybody gets up early. So I'm like, I could get up early. So you do that, and you do it, and you do it, and you make it a non-negotiable. So now I have probably a few dozen things that I have in place during the day that I do and things that I no longer do that create the perfect moments, moment to moment, day to day, and I learn along the way.
That's amazing. And I love your energy too, by the way. I get that a lot. People tell me, like, dude, I love your energy. Like, it feels really great to give it back and say that I love your energy. It sounds like, you know, it's a telltale sign that someone is living in their truth and living in their authenticity, is when they get fired up just about talking about their day or their podcast or their kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just know that that is what they value.
Can I ask you, because you just said you get told that too, like, oh, I love your energy.
Yeah.
Right? Especially with my podcast, I hear that somewhat regularly. And, you know, I take it kindly, but then I started thinking privately, and maybe now's the time to ask you, what exactly does that mean? What are they saying? What does it mean when somebody says, yeah, I love your energy? What's behind the statement? And I think you said it, though, right, that you are just living truthfully?
It is a longing to be where that person is. Man, I love your energy. Like, you're fired up. Like, I love that. Because you're starting to rub off on other people. And they're noticing that there's something different about this person. When you go to talk to people, like, hey, Josh, how's it going? Good.
Yeah.
My next response is good, not great. I'll never say I'm living a good life. If you ask anybody, when they ask me how I'm doing, the only correct response is, I'm doing amazing.
Yeah, and that's actually what you said to me when we first entered this call together. I said, hey, how's it going? And those are the exact words you used.
Yeah. I'm doing amazing. How are you? Like, that's
right.
That's it, man. And so once you know what's funny, though? I believe in affirmations. And that's an affirmation for me. When someone says, hey, man, how you doing? I'm doing amazing. It's an affirmation. I'm telling myself I'm doing amazing. And you know what I feel when I say that? I feel amazing.
Yeah.
I feel amazing. Like, I'm
so
doing
true.
Amazing. No matter what. And I'll be honest with you. I was terrible. Like, a week or two ago on a Monday. It was like President's Day. Oh, it was awful. I had calls to make, and I had other things and contracts to send. And somebody asked me, how you doing? I said, I'm doing well. And I felt myself just bottom out, done, zero energy. I didn't say amazing. And I felt myself not be amazing. It is, words are powerful. I always say, doing amazing.
It's so true, and it also goes back to the, like, whenever I have an inkling of feeling under the weather, I never, not only never give it some thought or energy internally, but I never vocalize it for that reason. I will never tell somebody, you know, I'm just not really feeling good, or I'm starting to come down with something. Don't even say that. Just ignore it. Put it aside, right? Don't even say it.
You bring up a very, very good point. I'll never say, I think I'm coming down with something. I'm just feeling kind of sick. You know, I don't say that. I don't say any of that. You know, and someone's like, "Hey, man, you feeling all right?" I'm like, "Yeah. I'm good. Yep. I'm feeling great.
Exactly.
It's a little sore, but you know what? I'm feeling great. Like I literally say what it is. If I have a fever, I say I have a fever. If I have the flu, I have the flu. If I have a sore throat, I never say, "Oh, I'm feeling sick," or "I don't know, I'm not feeling what." Like I'm either feeling great or I'm not. I'm either feeling amazing. Or I'm in the hospital. Like, it's something.
Love it.
So I want to thank you and honor you, Josh, for being very vulnerable. This show, historically, I've had people cry on the show. I've had people reveal things that they're like, wow, I didn't think I was going to say this. This is the first time I've ever really told anybody this. They're telling thousands and thousands of listeners something for the first time. But I want to honor you for your vulnerability and your authenticity, because that is what I feel makes the show great. It's a conversation that transforms lives. And everybody looks at you, they look at me, they look at Tony Robbins, everybody, right? All the big names, all the podcasters, all the successful people, like, God, they're so successful. How are they so successful? Like, this is crazy. What you don't see is what you just shared with us. You don't see that on social media, where people are like, I'm just not well, or I just lost a $1 million contract, or like, all you see is rented Lamborghinis and Ferraris and, you know, trophy wives and kids and money, and I'm living this great, great life, and yet they have $5 in the bank account. So I want to honor you, your authenticity and your transparency, man. I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that acknowledgement very much so. And it's funny because, you know, my brand and who I am today, the hidden entrepreneur, because I was hiding, right? And you know that when you show up in any regard hiding a part of yourself or a secret or an element, it's detrimental. It wears you down, as you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. All of that, it wears you down. So to show up hiding so much of yourself all the time, I mean, to now be able to say, F that noise, which is what I've done, that's become my exclamation, and also inadvertently the 5-step process that I've used to overcome all this fear, N-O-I-S-E, F that noise, and now show up as the person. What it always comes back to is, what was so frustrating was that I knew so well who I was, yet I would avoid that. It's exhausting.
So talk about that. Talk about the exhausting feeling and the draining energy. Because something that I'm thinking about right now, and I've been thinking a lot about, I listened to a podcast by my buddy Christopher Lockhead. Shout out to a great guy. Christopher Lockhead's amazing. He had a show called Legends and Losers, which then was turned into Follow Your Different. And, you know, they're always talking about perception and reality and the level of thinking. And, you know, the one thing that is agreed upon is people live in the reality of what others think about them. And it's a horrible way to live.
That sums up exactly how I live. People live in the reality how others think of them. And what I've done through childhood is showed up that way, and then through high school is when I, you know, surprisingly got bit by the acting bug. It was in eighth grade. I was changing classes, and Renee Stevenson, I don't even know if she knows this story, but we were passing each other in the hallway, and she said, "Hey, Josh, are you going to audition for the school play?" And just to, you know, appeal to everybody, I'm like, "Yeah, you know I am." And then I'm like, "Oh, note to self, there's a school play, audition, look it up, go." So I'm like, "Yeah, school play, you know it." Of course, wouldn't miss it, right? Eighth grade, desperate, needy to want to just fit in. I'll be there.
Yeah.
So I auditioned for the school play, which
That's
was
so
a which was a drug
I'm
awareness.
Like,
yeah. Go ahead.
I'm oh man, like I just remember being in eighth grade and in high school, and it's those two like awkward moments. Like, oh my gosh, man. I was the same exact, like, I wanted to please people, and I wanted to be there for people, and like, "Hey, man, you doing this?" You're like, "You know it." And then you like high five and walk away, like, "What the hell am I doing? Oh, so
wait, who? Right. Oh, my God. Right. So you get it, right? It's like, you know it, right?
Try out.
Of course.
Yeah. Try out for the volleyball team. Let's do it. And then you walk away. You're
I
like,
know.
Damn it.
What did I just get involved in?
Right.
So for me, I go to the audition, and it was for a drug awareness play, and wouldn't you know, I get cast in the role of comic relief, which, as you know, is the character, whether in a stage production or a film, the comic relief character is the one who usually breaks the dramatic tension with something funny or humorous, makes the audience relieve
right.
the tension with laughter. So I was that person in this drug awareness play. So I'm now on stage, and I'm given the role to act as a goofball for the purpose of everybody else to laugh either with me or probably at me at the time. But I didn't care.
Right.
I did something, and hundreds of people in front of me in the audience were cracking up laughing at what I was doing. So I was hooked, and I'm like, I'd like more of this, please. This seems to work well. So I go home, and I say, "Mom, I want to become an actor." And, okay, whatever. Not sure she believed me, but I believe me. I'm like, oh, I'm not a student to begin with. Nobody is guiding me to do anything differently. So I'm going to pursue this. So in high school, I did school plays. I did community theater. I went on to I auditioned for Montclair State Acting Program here in my home state of New Jersey, got that, and then moved a hop, skip, and a jump to New York City. I'm like, wow, I'm close to New York. This is fantastic. So I then moved to New York and then wound up spending 15 years amazingly loving that life for what it was. Lot of ups, lots of downs, but spent a long chunk of time in the city pursuing that dream. But, you know, it's also, like you said in the intro, it's searching externally for the validation. And if and when it comes, few and far between, you know those Hollywood stereotypes. Everybody's insecure. Nobody's really satisfied emotionally. You hear the stories. And that was the case for me. It didn't do anything but, you know, a temporary pat on the back for my ego. But that was it.
Wow. Yeah, I could totally relate to that in a lot of different levels. One thing I want to mention, there's a book by Michael Port called Steal the Show.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing book. He's an amazing his speaker, it's not even an event, it's like training. It's an event, but it's like training in person, whatever. It's $20,000. For you to go to Heroic Public Speaking and train with Michael and Amy Port. They're masterful. Well, a friend of mine said, "Man, you need to be an actor." Like, so he's an actor. He does live theater. This is what this guy does, live theater. And he's like, "Dude, you could learn so much from actors on how to be a speaker." Like, interesting. I wouldn't think that. So I read the book. He's like, dude, you got to read this book. It's amazing, you know, whatever. I'm like, all right, cool, got it. And so I read Steal the Show, and then I try out for my first play ever.
Here we go.
In my life. In my life. Yeah. I tried out for Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And if anybody remembers, the movie was Paul Newman, so totally intimidating, right? And so I tried out, and I tried out for a bunch of different ones, but I tried out, and I got it. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, crap. And I was like, dude. I just wanted to
oh, crap.
Out. He's like, dude, you got it, though. I'm like, oh, crap, dude. Oh, God. And the director comes up to me afterwards, you know, and he's like, man, you must have been acting forever. I was like, no, I never,
really?
Never acted ever. He's like, what? And my buddy goes, yeah, he's a speaker. He's a professional speaker. That's what he does. He's like, man, you got some stage presence. And he tells me, he's like, you really stole the show. And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I just read a book.
Oh, my God. You really stole the show. Right.
Yeah.
Win.
I read a book by Michael Port called Steal the Show. And he's like, what? I was like, yeah, I've never acted before ever. I read a book, Steal the Show by Michael Port. And then I auditioned for the play. And he's like, oh, this is just ridiculous. And was like mad that he told me I was so great and casted me. You know?
That's
he
fantastic.
He let me have it for the rest of the time that that play went on. He let me have it. I mean, he yelled at me every time I did something wrong. Like, this is why I want actors, you know? And like really made me feel like I wasn't a part of, like, you know what I mean? And he's like, if I had an actor up here and, like, really just tore me down and everything, I'm like, this is freaking ridiculous. Like, I'm going to freaking flip out on this dude. Like, I'm going to lose my mind.
Wait, so if I understand this correctly, you auditioned, you got the role, you impressed him. He said you stole the show, but then when he heard of your training and backstory, he wasn't having it.
He wanted to, yeah, he wasn't having it. What sold him on it was that I was an alcoholic at one point. Like, I was a drunk, and I was abusing alcohol, and, like, I had that backstory. So he was like, man, I love you even more. Like, this is awesome. So opening night,
I love you even more.
Things, right? We're crushing it, standing ovation. Everybody loves it, right? He pulls me aside. He's like, do you know why I was so hard on you? For tonight. Because you're not an actor. You don't know these things. I had to get you ready. Think of it as boot camp.
Okay? Oh, my God.
He's like, you crushed it. You're amazing. I knew you were the right choice when I casted you. I was like, I was going to kill you in your sleep. Like, if you yelled at me one more time, I was going to get upset. But he's an amazing director, and he's been doing it forever. And it just goes to show that,
wow,
that you have the intrinsic value that you may not even see in yourself that others see in you. That's what I learned.
You have the intrinsic value in yourself that you may not even see in yourself, but others see in you. And how do you begin to see the value?
By the results that you get by being pushed by someone who believes in you when you don't even believe in yourself.
So it also begins with you taking the first step, right? Taking 100%. An action, right? Putting something 100%. Out there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then you'll basically get the result that you either should get or are hoping for or expecting by the very nature of putting that action out there and starting the momentum.
Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah. And don't you think that there's yep. a... I mean, you couldn't have been surprised. I mean, maybe you were. Bad word, really. But you can now, looking back, see the lateral move between being a professional speaker and translating that to an acting role.
Oh, absolutely, because I learned what blocking was. I had no idea what blocking was. I was like, what the hell is blocking?
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, my God, This is why I need an actor. This is ridiculous. And he's like, okay, let me crash it for you. Let me, you know, I'm just like, oh, God. Ugh. You know, and it was cool because and a couple of the other actors, here's what they told me. They're like, man, if it wasn't for your love of what you're doing and your energy and what Tony sees in you, you know, whatever, he's like,
wow,
I wouldn't even talk to you. Jeez. All right. Because well, I felt out of place. I was like, this is way out of my comfort zone. I never acted before. You know, I give speeches, whatever. It was the best thing I've ever done. It was literally the best thing I've ever done.
That's fantastic. And what I love about my whole history in the acting and filmmaking world, now I don't pursue it in that traditional sense current day, but there is so much of what I do today that completely borrows from everything I've learned in that world. There's so many translatable talents and skills to today.
Oh, definitely. I can see that. Just by being in it. And then I tried out for another play. It was about 9 months, maybe a year later. And I tried out for what's his face? We just did this. Wadsworth. Wadsworth from Clue, the butler.
Yes.
And I did that. So that was a lot of lines. But it was amazing.
A lot of lines.
That was a lot of lines. Good
a lot
job.
Of text to learn. I remember that was one of the things I saw you had posted of you in that role. And I remember my comment, which now flashes back. I said, who's the genius that connected those dots? Because seeing you in that role, I'm like, yes. Who is it, Tim Curry?
It was Tim Curry. And definitely they're like, dude, yes. And again, it was the same friend who was like, bro, there's a play, you need to try out for it, it's Clue. I'm like, oh, I love Clue. He's like, you need to try out for it, you need to be watching. So this guy, my friend, who was like pushing me to do these plays and everything, like, he just knows. It's amazing. So yeah, when you don't see the value, right, in yourself, somebody else does, and sometimes you need that person, right?
And so you also needed to. I'm sorry, just the last point. You needed to. So somebody saw the value in you, but you also could have stifled that and said, "Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm cool," right? So you needed the strength or whatever the word is to step forward.
Yeah, So I live my life by saying yes and figuring it out.
Say it. Yes. Love it. Yes.
Say yes and figure it out. Because if I ever said no, then I would have closed myself off to new opportunities and new possibilities. And maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed, you know, I would have found out that I enjoyed the acting on stage and live theater and like all that. Like I would have never been able to learn what blocking was. And I'd be hindering my own growth if I would just say no.
Yeah. And one other point about saying yes and figuring it out, so perfect, such a great thing to live by. And it's not only say yes and figure it out to somebody else's offered opportunity. Think about it for yourself. Whenever you have a thought or an idea, say yes and figure it out. Too often we say no to any thought or idea we have, we want to put in place, we want to do.
Right.
Something as little as, you know, I should make this video or I should call that person. I don't know. No, say yes and figure it out. Even in that internal dialogue, very important.
100%. Oh, yeah, you nailed it. So as we start to wrap up and wind down, talk about F the Noise. Talk about it
in
depth. Talk about what it is unmasking, because you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Talk about that 5-part detailed process, right? And let everybody know what amazingness you're up to.
Well, thank you. I will. So F That Noise is something that I've been able to craft in retrospect and say, wow, how did I do? What did I do? Could I tell somebody else what I've done? Can somebody else replicate what I've done? And then F That Noise came about. So it's that 5-step process, NOISE. And I'll go through each one. If you want me to expand on any one, just let me know.
Yes.
So what all this has has to do with is your emotions. The things you're feeling, your emotional state at any given time is what defines you as a person and creates your persona and your personality. So often, these are habitual, and we resort to the same emotional patterns almost by default over and over again. So this is becoming so aware of what's happening, why it's happening, and doing something to stop it from happening. So it's all about getting familiar with your emotions. So the N you first want to do is name the emotion. What is the predominant? Sure, there might be a few intertwined, but if you have to name it, what is that predominant emotion that is just getting in your way from doing what you know you should be doing? For me, it was a lot of anger. I was very angry of certain things. So I was able to name it. For you, is it despair? Is it depression? Is it aggravation, boredom, confusion, envy? What is that? Name the emotion. Then we go to O. Now, once you do, now, and this is usually the most difficult part, you want to own the emotion, meaning it's yours and yours alone. It's not because of somebody else. It's not because of your circumstance. It's yours. Take on and own that power, because once you do, we can now take a breath, and we can move through it. We're not trying to change anybody else. We're changing you, and that's the good thing. That gives us the power and the ability to move forward through this. So own that emotion. Then the I, you want to identify with it. You want to say and proclaim to you and the higher powers that you believe in, I am angry. I am envious. I am frustrated. Whatever that emotion is, you want to identify with it. Because again, once you do, you take it on, and this is not a time where we're going to sit and we're going to analyze and we're going to just go back to your childhood and whatnot. No, we're in current time. We're going through these steps swiftly so we can take action and get the results that you have currently available within you. So now the S, once you've named it, owned it, identified with it, now you want to sit with it. This could be a few hours. It could be a few days. Again, this doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. Sitting with it means you are now going to observe the times that this emotion wants to come out and play. Is it because of a certain person, a certain time of day, a certain activity, a certain topic? Get so self-aware that you begin to see how and when this arises. Remember, so much of these emotions are learned and they're habit forming. They become just our default habitual setting. So the more we can observe how and when these happen, we can then begin to create a pattern interrupt, which is doing something quickly different when we start to notice and again become so self-aware of who we've become and who we are in those situations, that we can slowly but surely prevent those emotions from triggering and from setting in. And then the E is the only natural progression. Thank you.
I'm loving
the
it.
E is the, thanks, man. So the E is the only natural progression, the only natural result of all of this. You will evolve. You will evolve into the person you know you've always been and you must become. Evolve is to gradually change over time, and that's exactly what will happen. This isn't a quick fix, and that's not what you want, right? You don't want a quick Band-Aid. You want something deliberate and strategic that works. And the Greek root word for evolve is evolver, which means to unravel or unwind. So think of something unwinding or unraveling. It happens piece by piece by piece, and there is no limit to how much you can evolve.
Wow. That just sounds extremely powerful. Once implemented, once put into place, put into place. Wow. That just sounds transformative.
Thank you. It's been, I'm living and breathing proof.
Is that something that you originally came up with? Is it a collaboration effort of a lot of different trainings formed to create something for yourself? Like, what was the basis of that?
I'll tell you. I did create it. I was some time ago, before I had words for it, and certainly the F that noise concept, I was on a podcast having gone through this journey and successful at transforming and evolving. And I was having a conversation with the host just about what I was doing and, you know, what I've put in place and how I did it. And I felt something was missing. And he kept asking me, like, what sounded like very deliberate questions about, but how? And what? And I didn't have those verbal answers. I got off the show, a fine episode, but I thought, you know what? I really have to figure out what it is I did. And let me tell you, within an hour, literally from that hanging up from the interview and saying, I gotta really spell out what I've done here. Within the hour, it just came to me. Now it's like, oh my God, an hour, but not an hour, years, right? So, yeah, that's how it came about.
Dang. Very cool, man. Very cool.
Yeah.
So how does that, what you're doing right now, how does that elevate the lives of everyone around you?
By being the person, I'll speak me, not you, by being the person, I've always, because I was going to say you, you know, one, by being the person I've always known myself to be, yet hiding, yet showing up in the way that wouldn't rock the boat and that would continually tell the story that I created for myself and this belief of who I was to try to convince myself for 40 years that that's who I was, to now show up simply getting out of my own way, just like I get out of my child's way and let them be them, I can be me. And I'm seeing that, as simple as it sounds, is inspiration.
Wow. I love that, man. You're doing amazing work. And you're transforming lives, which I absolutely love.
Thank you.
So what we're going to do as we start to close the show, we'll do a quick shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Shameless plug moment. Let's go to my podcast. I love, like I'm sure you do and you know, you relate, Sean. I love hosting a podcast. I just started doing it officially, meaning I've done little interviews and videos here and there along the way that I enjoyed, but to really come to the table as part of the brand, because really everything I do is sort of leading by example, because I'm trying to you know, walk my walk here and say, well, if I'm going to, you know, say, get over your fear, then there should be absolutely no fear. So by doing the podcast, I came to the table and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to this. I always knew that I've had the talent and ability, like everything else I knew in my life. And I'm like, this is where I'm going to put my energy. This is where I'm going to thrive. This is what I'm going to enjoy. And like we spoke about earlier, you don't have to know all the steps. And I certainly didn't know all the steps I figured out along the way. I certainly didn't know what it was going to become or what the benefits were going to be. But I knew that I would enjoy it. I knew that I would love this deal. And I do, and I did. So I'm a proud podcast host of the Hidden Entrepreneur Show. And we've a couple months ago, we hit the 50-episode milestone, which I'm told is a nice deal. I know our mutual friend, Michael Marcial, was pivotal in helping me get not only the brand but the podcast off the ground. He was my guest for episode 1, brought him back for episode 50. So come and listen to the show. It's a great show that I love doing.
Well, I absolutely 100% agree, 100%. And, yeah, we dropped some amazing names in this show, man. Michael Marcial from Utah is absolutely amazing. Him and I will be speaking at the Business Innovators event May 3rd and 4th in Chicago, Illinois. So really looking forward to that. Michael Marcial has the 5-figure work week Facebook group. So plugging him. And amazing, man. So as we close, give us one nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
I've recently realized that the phrase, what you see is what you get, is twofold. The standard fold is, you know, when somebody comes to the table and they're saying, hey, I'm just who I am. You know, I shoot from the hip. I speak the truth. What you see is what you get with me. But what I've realized is the opposite is also true on a personal front. And this is what inspires and excites me, meaning what you see is what you get. How you view the world, what you see, is what you receive in return. I was once told it was almost as a negative that, you know, you just always see the good in people. And it was supposed to be an insult. And I thought, well, yes, thank you. That's absolutely true. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm gullible or naive or can't see any sort of negative trait or less than desirable behavior. But by seeing the good in people, what you see is certainly what you will get.
Love it. Dude, I want to thank you for coming on the show, sharing in authenticity, and you're a rock star, man. I really appreciate it.
Wow, Sean. Pleasure. Thank you so much for the chance and the time to be here with you.
All right. Everybody listening right now, go and subscribe to the Hidden Entrepreneur Podcast and also subscribe to this show, Life Transformation Radio. If anything resonated with you, please connect with Josh Carey. He is absolutely amazing, crushing it. He is doing amazing work, getting people out of their own way and getting them to unmask. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.